Good evening, and welcome to this episode of My Ass. Actually, I'm going to play the music, so we'll just keep going. No, we're keeping this going.
Welcome to My Ass.
Is this Video Rumpus? I'm talking to again. I need another movie request. The grandkids won't leave the house, see? So I need a movie about some killer dolls, but it can't be that Chucky killer doll. And I can't. Well, the grandkids already know that one. They think he's funny or something, like he was a Howdy Doody. But I need a more obscure killer doll movie of some variety. If you could call me up here, I'm Mrs. Ellison. I live off by the viaduct. The number is.
Hi, and welcome to Videorama. I'm your Parista, and we're here today to discuss some movies that an irate woman called in asking for. They were wanting to know if we had any recommendations for lesser known killer doll movies, because Chucky just ain't getting them there anymore. So that brings us here today, this lovely September day, and I recommended first and foremost a German film.
Oh no.
It is not a Scheisser film. Nice. It is in a Roland Emmerich film. And it is a film from the wonderful 80s called Making Contact.
Donnie. Joey. Donnie, you call him Roland Emmerich. I call him the gay German Michael Bay.
Well, I call it your grave.
Joey. Honey.
Roland Emmerich, the director who brought us the 1998 Godzilla, the 2000 The Patriot with Mel Gibson, and Moon 44, which was from 88.
Did he also do Moon 43? Was that
I'll
him?
I'll have to check on that.
Do any of you want to try to tell me what this movie was about, or should
do either of us want to introduce ourselves?
You, Linda. Fuck you, Donnie. Fuck you, Adrian. There, done.
I'm Linda, and I'm Roger.
You can call me the cheese.
Sun-Times, and until the next time, the balcony is closed.
A long time ago, there were three employees that worked in this shop, and their names were...
I'm waiting to hear their names.
Names were starting with my sister.
My name is Linda, but you can call me the cheese, right?
You're a rock.
My name's Adrian, and I can sound spooky too. Boo, I'm a ghosty ghost. I'm haunting you from beyond the grave.
Did he say he's hung beyond the grave? Because I don't believe that.
Oh, do you know it?
I'm hung beyond belief.
And I'm Donnie, a possessed fucking ventriloquist dummy.
Chucky be tender with my love. You know how easy it is to kill me.
So is it really easy? Because I've been wondering.
Donnie, what decade do you think this movie was from? And what certain blockbuster hits do you think it came after? Which movies?
You know, I want to say it was something that kind of made the film seem a little Spielbergian.
Oh, yeah?
But I can't say specifically.
Yeah, there's something that's just, like, right there.
There's something a little extra about it, a little extra terrestrial.
Extra testicle.
And it's a bit magical, I think. Yeah.
Not to spoil any spoilers, but did anybody else towards the end there wait for Joey's chest to start glowing red?
Actually, no.
I was waiting for his butthole to glow red.
I've seen this before.
I actually thought this was going to end. It almost ended how I thought it would, and I barely remember the ending at all as a kid. But I really thought this was going to have a Time Bandits ending where they ran out of money and just said, fuck it. Which they more or less did.
I was really hoping... Well, I mean, we'll get to the end later.
Well,
but,
we will, but yeah. Before we get to the end, so it's a happy kids film. The kid's dad dies, and right. He has to deal with this by suddenly getting psychic powers and things, and talking to his papa through a red Batman telephone.
His papa.
Yes, his papa.
His papa or Commissioner Gordon, yes.
Yes. I mean, that was a Batman phone. It was just as fake-looking and hollow.
Like Daddy!
But, I got yeah, hand it to you. That's where things start. He gets bullied a lot because he apparently felt the need to tell people he talks to his dad through a phone.
That's what I did.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
I told all the kids at school every time I would shit myself and when I started jerking off.
You know, you gotta tell him, hey, my mother would ask my father every day, so I gotta tell somebody until I'm married. But, yeah, that's a good point for me to stop. Linda, what happens after he gets his powers and talks to his dead papa?
Ah!
The kids start making fun of him for having a dead dad.
That was funny as shit. It was also fucked
up. Your dad's dead.
Yeah, but you heard Dave's back in town.
That's like as bad as Purple Rain. It's like, how's the parents, kid?
Yeah, remember how we used to make fun of kids for like their dads dying? Like,
oh, God.
Oh, I remember elementary school fondly.
Your dad is dead in a grave.
Hey, Joey, your dad's dead.
So that's kind of the middle of the film that Linda's touching on.
And then an egg rolls across a ruler.
An egg he rolled across a ruler to impress the girl, but also take her egg as his own project because he's evil fuck?
He's going to steal all her eggs. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, he's like, most of this phenomenon happens when kids like go through puberty, but he's only 9 for fuck's sake.
Donnie, he came to me too.
Oh, God. He so came obviously. To you? Oh my God, who's knocking at my door?
I could feel it coming in the air tonight.
It's a musical episode, everybody. All you Buffy nerds will just love it.
No, we don't need a musical episode.
No. Let me get the puppet out.
But Donnie, I'd just like to say thank you for choosing a movie that's magically obscure.
Very.
This is your first selection that I literally, well, okay, I had heard of it, but I'd heard of it in a really weird way. Because for the longest time I thought, like, oh, Roland Emmerich, he's that German asshole who got into filmmaking by making Moon 44. But then in 2002, I was in a Fry's Electronics in Vancouver, Washington, and they actually had a magically obscure DVD selection. This is how magically obscure it was. This
That's
is
what
I
miss about Fries.
They were right? Fucking awesome.
Yeah, they but had a lot of like, weird shit.
My DVD copy of Orson Welles' The Trial, which most people haven't heard of. They had a copy of The Happiness Cage with Christopher Walken, which most people hadn't heard of. And they had collector's editions of Roland Emmerich's Making Contact and his following movie Ghost Chase, which I have not seen, but I understand it's almost the same thing. Just probably with a slightly higher budget.
He also did Independence Day.
Like I said, the 1988 Godzilla, The Patriot, and Moon 44. Those are the movies he's known for.
Yeah, he's not known for Independence Day.
So Linda, past the bullying, what happens to poor Joey?
He meets a doll.
Yes.
But that's after he's hanging out with his dog and his cute robot.
Yes, his robot friend. He's got a
cute robot friend who makes non-copyrighted noises.
Yeah. Yes,
not at all R2-D2.
Yeah, in any sort of way.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, look, it's E.T. the Poltergeist not included.
And why do the other kids, like, okay, there's one point where not R2, whose name is Charlie. Charlie goes Charlie's to cute. War.
He's a surrender robot. He's putting up his hands like, no, don't shoot me, Tank.
He's like facing off against these kids' tanks that they're like remote controlled tanks that shoot.
Those have been real at various times. Don't what? You remember? No, toys that you're thinking of the 21st century. This is the 80s. And more importantly, this is the 80s in Germany. It's America where tort law has ruined everything and you can't have any fun anymore.
If you say it's Germany, it may be filmed in Germany, but this is America. Right.
It's America. And
yes, so we play with German
Virginia
tanks.
Beach, but
so totally America.
Right. Well, all the children are kids that they got from the army base, because there's always army bases in Germany. They're just rotten with American kids, just waiting to be in one movie ever. And this was their one movie ever. So all the kids are fine. They're all Americans and they all act like American kids. They don't try to act like grown-ups being kids, like that little shithead in the second Ghost Rider. That's fine. Trouble is, I'm afraid of the world. But all the adults are American.
Yeah.
Oh, please, Joey, show me how the trick is done. I'm your American mother. It's something under the table, isn't it? Gee, Mom, you sure are over-enunciating. It's like you have something to prove.
Well, that explains why they all have shitty acting.
I'm beginning to wonder if you people know the plot of the film. Because
I know the plot of the film.
You only know that he met a ventriloquist dummy.
No, I watched it. I started watching it the second time around.
This plot is very hard to follow and makes you
sleepy. Oh, no, Donnie, it's really easy to follow.
It didn't make any of us sleepy at all, I am sure.
No.
I'm kind of sleepy because we're watching the American version, which is like 70 minutes long.
Yes,
I had no problem whatsoever paying attention to this movie.
Absolutely.
So Joey talks to his dead dad on the red telephone, and his dead dad just helps him get wish powers. But the ventriloquist dummy, of course, comes alive and tells him, "Rah! You think that's your dad on the telephone? Well, it ain't."
And no, that's all you had to say. He just tells him, "Rah."
Because
he's saying that all the time. Rah!
He's seen the doll three times before the doll actually starts talking to Joey. And that's even when the doll is alone, it just opens his eyes and goes, "Rah."
Yeah, just like Alphonse the monkey. Just
his name is Algonquin Thelonious Monkey.
Yes.
Whom I thought of when I saw the monkey puppet on top of the TV.
That's a gorilla.
Target audience is in theory the same age as the kid in the movie. You're trying to market this to 9-year-olds, and yet you're trying to confuse their tiny American brains. Is that his dad or what?
That's why I love this movie, because it's one of those very rare child fantasy / horror films that we were subjected to growing up, where it just fucks with your mind, and then when you get older, you're like, this wasn't scary. Why was I afraid of this as a kid? It's like, oh,
because
that's why. It's trippy.
There was a giant hamburger coming at you that may also have been
a cheeseburger.
Yeah. And when it gets close, it kind of has fangs, so I guess it's scary. But it's at least as big as a
mountain.
There
was a giant monkey and ventriloquist dummy at one point.
Yep.
If your brother was as intelligent as he weighs, he'd be a genius.
Oh! those are good effects. They all look really good. They're good ideas, too. I mean, the effects are not the problem.
No.
I gotta say, one thing that kind of fucked me up was in the beginning, you see Jerry Hall, and it's like, Jerry Hall's in this joint? And then you find out it's like Jerry L. Hall Jr., playing William. It's like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
It's not Jerry Hall.
Just another kiss. Just bought it down.
Like that, Red Letter Media made fun of it. How films that used Frank Stallone would just have Stallone in big, bold letters.
Oh, and then Frank
very, very tiny letters.
Well, look at the third fucking Delta Force movie where it's all the sons of action stars.
Yes.
Wow, it's amazing. Look, Penn, Cassavetes. Wow, I'm
so Adrian, you want to tell us how this movie ends as Linda led us to this part?
Okay. Well, the doll shows him on a TV where there's an evil ventriloquist. He's like, "This guy's not pretending to be your dad. And he's trying to control the world. I'm the good guy, the evil doll that says rawr." And look, here's knives flying at your mother. And the mother's all like, Joey, what do you mean about knives flying at me? There's knives on the wall, but I'm just assumed that happened from Jesus. And then so the mother decides that he has powers and just doesn't question it and believes him oddly early. And then the teacher just kind of drops by. It's like, I couldn't help but notice you're a single mother, and I too have a very poor accent. Let's make time. And he brings the dummy back home after Joey tried to bury it. And then they just roll in the whole setup from the end of E.T. so they could test his powers, you know.
Yeah, and it hit payoff, really.
And then the doll shows him to where he's fucking with the, you know, go through this door and I'm going to kill the kids who are your enemies, but you're going to want to save them anyway because I guess you're the hero guy. We're not really going to discuss it. And so the kids are fucking around in the abandoned building and there's a cave-in. And then there's a sweet evil dimension under it with a giant maze full of monsters.
Yes. Yeah, a big labyrinth. And I lost it.
Don't question it. Evil Dimension. Die.
The puppet makes me think of Conky.
Joey fucking died.
From Trailer Park Boys.
He's literally dead for a minute there. Now that's after the little girl's like, the light was so beautiful. It's no wonder he went in there. After all, crossover, all are welcome, Joey.
Didn't they try to bury Conky too?
Yes, they did. They did try to bury Conky, and he came back.
I'm back, Sexton.
Oh, God. But, this almost was a perfect film where a kid died at the end and stayed dead. But
He died. And then he opens his eyes at the last minute and you're really disappointed.
Yes, that was one of those moments where I was paying really close attention. And that's what I was going to talk about in the beginning, but I thought we would end up getting to it. But,
we're going to get there because we have to also talk about, like Adrian hinted at, my favorite thing in this, which is the teacher that basically becomes the new dad. He just kind of slips into the mom's pants and he's like, I'm concerned. That's why I'm here for you.
He's
and
so concerned that
I'm your
that
dad
the
Joey.
Kid is the center of attention. He makes him the center of attention in the class again. It's like, kids don't beat up other kids for this. That doesn't happen. I'm American. I understand these things.
Yeah. Which I still, like Linda pointed out, and I love so, so much, was the kids were supposed to be taking care of eggs as babies, and they gave him an egg with a skeleton inside it.
P.S. Your dad died, ha-ha.
Yeah, you don't see the note. You're not shown the note, but the note says something about his dad.
Was he German?
No,
but since we brought up the adults again, this movie's a really good example of why of some of the pitfalls of trying to write in a language that is not your native language. Because it is coherent English that is all written in. You can understand what they're saying, but some of it lacks that that certain nuance, let's say.
It's delivered poorly. Is that what you mean?
It's not about the actors. This is about the script. For once, it's not about the actors. No. If you've known people online from certain parts of Europe and you talk to them, they'll be nice and they'll be sweet, but certain phraseology, you got to kind of see past it because they don't really mean it to come off the way that it does.
Like Donnie.
Yeah.
Donnie talk.
Yeah. See, even a guttural bastard language like English requires some nuance. So there's the part where
the
mom and the teacher are sat down at the table and they're talking and to Joey and they're trying to gently tell Joey to knock off his foolishness. But the way they say it, they're like maybe you should stop your little tricks now. It's like, that comes off real nice and sweet, doesn't it?
But that was also the 80s. It was a different time.
you never throw little in there. That's like calling somebody in Chicago my friend. Like, you're going to get a fist fight.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I just watched the reboot of Candyman. Or the sequel, I guess. I don't know.
Wait, Farewell to the Flesh?
That's kind of a sequel. No.
No. It's a direct tie-in sequel to the first movie.
It's awesome.
But Farewell to the Flesh is fine, and Day of the Dead's okay. Well,
that is, but that's the new thing, Adrian. We're forgetting all the sequels. We're doing the Toxic Avenger 4 thing, where they had to pay Stan Lee to come in and go, after the first Toxic Avenger, there were two horrible sequels, but this is the real sequel.
And it
was a film sequel, but it still exists.
Avenger 2 is fine.
It is perfect. It's wonderful.
Although, so if we're doing that, we need to do that same thing for the Alien series.
I mean, may as well.
See, that's what happens when you talk to Lloyd Kaufman.
But this is why I didn't do Chroma Key this episode.
It was kind of creepy with the puppet because it just shows him out of fucking nowhere, just kind of chilling out in a dusty old tomb looking place. And then, yeah, he opens his eyes. Adrian, you're okay. You got your baby. You got your baby.
Adrian's playing with his dolls.
I never thought I would have a use for that. It's been in a box.
You're done playing with your dolls.
You want your Jello now?
See two cats pop
want
up.
Your juice pack?
Hey, big fella.
Your Tino.
Fletcher. Fletcher. That's the name of the doll. He's just like chilling out in this fucking basement looking place and goes, rah! But then it's like forever until Joey actually goes on an adventure and his android friend is like, don't fuck around in there. And he's like, fuck you.
Beep, 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 beep.
His robot friend Charlie talks in little beeps and Joey can understand him. And it's like, he says he likes you, but it's like, so wait, does he have a robot that works or... is this from his psychic power, and did it just come from his dad, and
nobody
what?
Nobody knows.
You don't need to ask these things called questions. We just go with the story.
I need to stop all my crying business and watch my American Entertainment movie.
Exactly. Joey. Linda, you look like you're on the verge of a meltdown or saying something. I'm not sure what.
Well, I don't want to go on another tangent, but I made the mistake of, Carlo and I both made the mistake of watching Prisoners of the Ghostland sober and way too lucid on Friday night. It has Cassavetes in there, which, so like, once you mentioned Cassavetes' son, I was just like, oh.
Cassavetes died in the 80s.
Yeah. Maybe we'll hear more about that from the Cage's Kiss fellows if they ever actually get together to cover these
those assholes.
No, the boy is dead. They have died.
I don't think they would want to watch it again.
I am a sympathetic German scientist woman.
Promises made and promises broken.
I am not Jerry Hall.
But, yeah, he finds his little doll friend, and immediately, without any kind of buildup of anything, he does, like Adrian said, he just floats the TV over, and he's like, see this guy? He wants to control you like he did me. I was like,
boy's gonna put his hand in your butt.
Like, thank you for telling me this, I guess.
At first it hurts, but then it's really nice.
We need some exposition.
God, speaking of, we needed some fucking exposition, because when... the movie turns to Spielbergian territory, and suddenly the science people are taking over his home. The bullies that all bullied him for not having a dad suddenly are concerned for him, and they're like, we have to rescue our friend.
Because he saved them.
Yeah, but they also fired their tanks at him, and he exploded them with his mind power.
But that was before... and that was their brother's tank.
that's true.
Are we sure it was him that exploded the tanks, or was it Drew Barrymore or Rourke sitting next to him? I mean, she's got powers, right?
She's more of a fire-based user.
I see.
She's a firebender. He's more of a mindbender.
Out, Joey.
Actually, Joey's a hair picker because he really likes fucking with people's hair, apparently.
Their commissar's in town, Joey.
So
okay.
Yeah, that stuff happens, and then the kid dies, and everybody's like, yes!
Well, this is before he's confronted with the ghost of the real ventriloquist, and is all like, the dummy's a liar, and the dummy's like, no, the ventriloquist is a liar. And I'm like, wait a minute, I've seen this routine before, and the drinks were really overpriced. Yeah. And then he goes through the door.
Yeah.
And this is called Making Contact, and in some ways it's kind of similar to a terrible American Jodie Foster movie called Contact. Because it may or may not have been her dad the whole time.
He just needed his son. I'm gonna threaten to kill your mom. I'm gonna throw knives at your mom.
That was hilarious.
But don't trust him. He's the bad guy. I'm the good guy.
My guitar wants to kill your mama and rape your daddy.
That's how you earn trust. You go watch this TV as I throw knives at your mom's hand. Oh, that would have hurt. And then you have to explain to the teacher why there are knives. An extra? The fucking wall.
Yeah, but trust me. Don't trust him. He's the bad guy. I just tried to stab your mom. That's all. What's a little bum stabbing between friends?
Mom stabbing between friends. I mean, Joey's cool and all, but I'm thinking about Amy.
I know you are.
Who, Amy?
Baking company. Amy? Amy, what happened? What did you do? Amy, this is serious. Damn it! Where is it, Amy? Where is my money? Oh, where'd that money at? Yeah, sorry, Amy. We actually don't have a reported budget for this fucking thing. Fucking krauts on their Deutschmarks.
I'd like to apologize for Adrian's comment.
What? Some of my best friends are Germans. I fucking love them. They are warm, wonderful people. And they don't have Deutschmarks anymore, so it's fine. They flushed them shits. They're gone.
I wish we watched Explorers instead.
We kind of did. We watched Explorers and E.T. and Poltergeist, the Firestarter, and all that shit. This actually premiered in the United States on December 27th of 1985. So I can't tell you what it was ranked because Box Office Mojo is a piece of shit. And I can't tell you, you know, what it lost and all that. I can tell you what else was out, though. Because on December 18th of that year, a little movie you may have heard of called Brazil came out. Disney had gone and reissued 101 Dalmatians. I think I actually saw it in the theater during that reissue when I was a little baby. Out of Africa was out. Enemy Mine was out. The Color Purple. A Chorus Line, for some reason. I don't know why they tried to make a mainstream live-action musical in 1985. That was a big mistake. The Trip to Bountiful. Revolution with Al Pacino and Donald Sutherland. And also, that came out that same day, Murphy's Romance with Sally Field.
Hey, she's a fucking national treasure.
And then on January 3rd, Head Office came out, so just go watch that one.
Well, all right.
Yeah, that's what was going on in 1985.
You did it, Adrian. You did it.
This time we're going to take the garden with us.
You made contact with Amy. Yeah. Donnie?
What?
Stop that. Nope, stop that.
Does this bug you?
Okay. Are there any other reviews on this?
We're not going to jump right into that. Thank you. I mean, we could, I guess, if we're in a rush, but I don't know.
I wonder if you found any. My God.
I did. Well, there weren't many, but the ones I found were all dissertations.
Like I said, it was magically obscure.
Which is why I loved it, because I remember the poster more than anything in fucking video stores, and that's why I loved it, because it's like, this looks fucking magical as shit.
I think
we saw it on HBO for the first time, back when HBO had actually good movies.
Oh, okay. All right. Back when they showed cool stuff like Deathstalker.
Yeah. It's like, even like the first movie we ever watched and why we got HBO... I remember from our dad is because he went to a person's house appraising it and somebody was watching Munchies and it was on HBO and our dad was impressed by this. So we had to get HBO.
I could just picture that.
Watch Munchies. And that
I want to sell your house, but what the shit is this here? Hey, let me sit down, kid.
You were saying something, Linda?
No, I wasn't saying shit.
She was talking to your dad.
What else did you want to discuss, Don Don?
The movie and our thoughts on the movie, but we can go into reviews.
What do you think about the movie, Don Don?
I had some thoughts, but okay.
Well, what were your thoughts, sir?
Well, you get those opening.
Nobody cares.
You get your Alan Silvestri / John Williams music, you know.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford to hire a title company, so you just get yellow titles on black, and it's like, this ain't a good sign.
It really did. It just kind of kept wanting to kind of get up to that level where it's like, this is almost plagiarism, but no.
Yeah, they do a good job, because like they make Virginia Beach look like that one California housing development where they shot Poltergeist, or that place in Oregon where they shot E.T., you know, and like in Goonies and shit. Yeah.
Well,
you know?
That was, I guess, the director's thing, is though he wanted to make a German film, he also wanted to make it American so they could get those American box office dollars for his film.
This is about as close as you're ever going to get with that kind of aspiration, because German and American films tend to be like oil and water.
Not
really smear on German films, it's just, you know, you're watching a German film.
And but, while you brought up the subject, if you go to Astoria, Kent Beach, and try to see the house from Goonies, you can't. They have a bunch of signs saying, get the fuck off our property.
Well, they don't want it to wind up like the cabin in Evil Dead, where people just steal every piece of it.
Yeah, well, this is what happened to the boat from Jaws, too, which pissed off Steven Spielberg.
People are terrible. They're human beings with just pieces of shit. If you leave a perfectly good house just lying around. Yeah.
But that's why I was really hoping we could have found the budget. But yeah, like Adrian said, there is nothing about this budget anywhere in existence. But it would have been nice to have had, because they did have to make a lot of drastic cuts to story because of the budget. And just with everything they had spent trying to do more of an American release, and also with the kids, because they were kids, because they're on base, you only could film at certain times. So they had to film all the adults during the daytime and then go and film the kids at night.
During the school year,
We had them for like 3 hours or so at a time, and it's like, that really sucked. Child labor laws stop filmmakers from making art. We need to put more children to work.
Yes.
The lazy fucks.
If we had movies and special effects in the 1880s, they could have got them made way faster.
Your mother spent 8 hours pushing you out of her twat. You can work for 6 hours of your goddamn day as a kid.
I'm tired and I don't know how to say lines. It's called ADR, you little bastard.
See, it's those little hands. They could work in factories.
That's what we learned in Snowpiercer. That's why they put kids in the engine rooms, because they had small hands. They could get into all the places that normally other people couldn't.
What are you fingers for? They're only eight.
Get in line, America.
Right. Yep.
We're heading back to it. America's going to be all about coal mining and breaker boys and not having fingernails and not knowing what sleep is.
Kids are people, too. They should be allowed to work.
It's fucking hilarious to me that this movie, as obscure as it is, there are fucking people out there that bash and will burn any station showing the American version. Because they hold the German version to be like the crown jewel of the entire fucking movie. That Joey is the only way to see this movie with the extra 20 minutes.
It's just 20 minutes.
Well,
it was
shot in English for both versions. Yeah. In the version we saw, there were certain continuity gaps and stuff like that. And I'm assuming that's all to do with the missing 20 minutes.
It is, but it's not like.
Well, it's Roland Emmerich. It's not like it was ever going to be great.
Yeah.
This is the guy whose best movie is White House Down.
Not London Has Fallen?
That's the other thing with that Eckhart cocksucker. Fuck that guy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Fuck Aaron Eckhart. Fuck him.
No?
Linda would if she could.
What's gonna be fucking Donnie? Just get him at the fairgrounds and lean him over one of the trash cans and get his head inside. The fireworks are going off. Go nobody's looking down.
We can go to the tap. Flip the party an extra thin to leave us up there for 5 minutes.
Flip we heard Videorama would like to apologize.
We'd like to apologize. We didn't try this earlier with you, sir.
I'm sorry, Aaron Eckhart.
I got
we do not plan on raping you.
I got some jelly.
You got the idea, the idea of raping Aaron Eckhart is not funny, and it is not okay.
We're not discussing the idea and the act. We're just discussing the imagery. This is an art.
Your brain needed a picture in it. We painted one.
See, now that we brought rape up, now we can go and transition.
I hate
you. What were you going to say?
It shouldn't be a pinball game.
Yeah. Slam dunk.
Oh, damn it.
Little may have been a witness to this movie.
And he gets into his car with a license plate of Sexy Sadie.
God damn. I'm having fun.
Yes, sir, you is.
Let me show you how to play that pinball.
The producers of Videorama would like to apologize to Aaron Eckhart. Anyone offended.
Producers may or may not be on camera.
This is the day we just got canceled.
We've been getting canceled since our second episode.
Oh, so I picked once again the most helpful of these hateful reviews. And you may notice a theme with these reviews.
Oh, no.
Possibly. So that is why I'm including their titles. The first one is titled, Please Shoot Me.
Okay.
Without a doubt, Making Contact, or Joey, as it apparently is otherwise known, is one of the most horrendous, mind-numbing, plotless pieces of nonsense ever filmed. It is not even accidentally entertaining. The acting is deplorably bad. Exceeded in banality only by both the dialogue and the script. Where it is not utterly nonsensical and moronic, the storyline is wretched, cliched, and predictable. The cast of nobodies and never will be's should be imprisoned for their performances.
Rude.
The ending is an unprecedented cinematic abortion so bad that it damages the heads of my VCR.
He really wanted Joey to die.
The disconnected vignettes that purport to convey a plot serve as unintended parodies of such contemporary films as E.T. Doctors and technicians specialized in paranormal activity treat stricken young boy in his own home. He dies. Supernatural's held his supernatural powers herald his restoration. He lives. Also, Poltergeist. Lots of toys and other stuff flying around for no apparent reason.
They even had that, like, record playing.
That's true, with the little car playing it, yeah. Ghostbusters. Supernatural forces use your own fears against you. Cliched fat kid sees enormous carnivorous cheeseburger. And Star Wars.
It was a hamburger, but it could have been a cheeseburger.
Exactly. He didn't want to linger to find out.
Wait. What is the Star Wars you speak of? I thought surely they were paying homage to the last Starfighter.
R2-D2 style robot with fetching personality gratuitously accompanies boy everywhere. And finally...
That's so fetch. Stop trying to get fetching happening.
Goonies.
Don't knock Charlie. He was the best part.
Including scared fat kid in overalls yelling, hey, wait for me. Survive multiple perils in a collapsing underground structure. It appears that the forces behind the making of this abomination mistakenly believed that they had a surefire formula for a can't-miss moneymaker. We are left to ponder their epic miscalculation. I feel dumber for having watched it.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure it must have done pretty well. I mean, his career really continued, like, immediately afterwards, so.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem to affect him badly. It
didn't hurt him. Like, he got to make another movie right away, and then he got to make a movie with Michael Paré and Malcolm McDowell, you know, and then, yeah. And then after that, he got to make his Van Damme movie.
Van Damme!
Another wonderful one. This movie is so bad, it's... No, actually, it's still bad.
I
dreamed of interrupting this movie halfway through and gouging my eyes out with a fork. That which is seen cannot be unseen. I always had this sneaky feeling that Independence Day was really crudely scripted and directed. This movie confirmed it for me.
Wait. They had that on the back of their mind for 20 years, and then they see this, and they realize it. What? Just seeing Independence Day just sort of gets that right there to you, right? Oh, welcome to Earth!
I know that I often hear weird things that aren't really what was said, but I heard I've got a stinky feeling.
It's got a stinky, easy feeling. Just I gotta go change my pants.
I've got a stinky feeling too.
And then you have your backpack on. The director can't direct. The final product is a confusing mishmash of E.T., Poltergeist, and about 50 other films the premises were ripped off from. I can't understand the other reviews calling this movie original because everything in it was derivative. It is as if the script review called for every single popular film of the past 10 years to contribute some elements to the story. Terrible. Really lousy. Shameful. I would have recommended this director never work again, but he made one of the biggest financial blockbusters of all time. That movie was even worse than I remember in hindsight after watching this turkey.
So it's okay that he directed because the movie he made later made money?
Apparently.
Also, I mean, can you fault him? It's like, huh, well, these Lucas and Spielberg fellas, people seem to give them some money.
It's yeah. Like,
and also, they're acting like this is the only movie ever to do this.
This is true.
Little movie and called Pod People.
Which is what
rewatched recently.
Yeah, are so we great. Talking about the same Pod People or no?
JP or Simone.
Yeah.
Idiot control now. Idiot control now.
It stinks. Oh, I was thinking about that in the MST track to this movie.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you can do stupid things.
Yeah. No, that was the first thing I said. Watching this, like, wow, Trumpy, you can do stupid things.
Now, I've saved the best review while
okay, last, all right.
Because this it made me think of Adrian more or less. This was titled My Least Favorite Film of All Time.
Oh.
When it comes to the worst movies ever made, most are so bad that in a sick way you can enjoy them. If you have a decent imagination and a sardonic sense of humor, then it's easy to find something to amuse yourself with. J-Lo's atrocious acting has made me laugh several times. So has Coleman Francis' magnetic screen presence. In some small way, these little joys make sitting through Red Zone Cuba, or Enough, tolerable. And if things get really bad, you might have enough material to genuinely enjoy yourself. Taking this into consideration, I can say with no small amount of certainty that Making Contact is my least favorite film of all time. There is no consolation prize. Nothing comes to speed things along. It's just drudgery. Little things are usually enjoyable, even in bad films, are stripped of anything decent. 80s cliches fail to bring back fond memories painfully. Bad acting fails to elicit any laughs. and the convoluted story fails to surprise or interest the reader. You neither love nor hate the characters, you take absolutely no stake in Ralph's adventure, and everything falls flat and uninteresting. This film is completely worthless. Mm. I feel anyone mentioning Red Zone Cuba deserves at least a little nod.
I mean, I agree that Enough was almost as good as Red Zone Cuba.
It was almost
as good. But I think it's kind of mean to compare this with Enough. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's just who peed in your coffee today? Oh no, I watched a harmless 80s mockbuster. I'm so enraged. It's like, it wasn't even long.
No.
And it can't really annoy you by having become popular either. I mean,
it was a perfectly timed short little adventure.
Yeah. It's a little prize in your expired Cracker Jacks.
Exactly. It's just like finding a cracked open little tiny plastic bubble. Oh my God, no, he's here. He's here. Oh. That's what happens when Linda vanishes. Algonquin monkey.
He lives on our fear.
Oh, God.
I'll bite your fucking face off.
I swear to Christ, Al would be floating with a TV, but he would throw it at you.
Probably.
Oh, please, Al, don't kill me.
No one's on TV tonight. You. And it says, welcome to prime time, bitch.
Algonquin is a little bit more, he doesn't rip people off.
He likes to sing about my back titties.
Back titties.
Back titties. Back titties. Whatever I do, they do.
Back titties. You got them. Back titties. Let's show them. Back titties. Back titties.
As you all will be able to tell, this episode has made us a rather insane bunch for some reason. Oh, sweet Jesus.
The 1980s were on a reference of stuff.
Don't bash, Al. You should know better.
Joey, nobody the bashes lemur, Al. The he bashes mankind. You.
That's right. If you don't bring the cocaine, let the Lord have mercy upon you.
Very seriously. So, goddamn it. But yeah, I could not find anything that was simply like people complaining like, oh, this sucks. Oh, this was shit.
It had to be the worst ever.
I didn't buy this. My kids did on accident. There's just people that religiously hate this fucking movie.
I feel sad for them that this is the worst they've ever seen.
I mean, it's like even I had nostalgic feels for this because like I said, I remembered parts of it as a kid. And again, the poster was amazing. And rewatching it, I'm kind of like, you know, maybe I could have actually chosen a different movie for this. But no, I'm glad
I thought you were going to say, you know, maybe I could have chosen a different life path.
You know, I was thinking that too, but that was after I was laying in my own filth crying for about an hour. I'm just like, maybe I should have studied in school instead of playing Nintendo. But if Adam Sandler was correct and aliens bring pixelated games to kill us, I'll be fucking ready.
Well, yeah, you get those Donkey Kong cheat codes ready?
I do. I mastered the Duck Hunt.
Actually.
From your friend Michael Hunt, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Lindar?
I remember when we were kids, like, I was the master of Duck Hunt. And our cousin used to get so pissed because like I was the best at the cunt.
The same cousin who would have to put the barrel of the Nintendo gun against the screen to track the ducks to fire at
yes.
them. Yes.
Oh. Like,
I was scarily good with a gun.
Yeah.
Like I was also really good at those like water gun race things.
Oh,
at the,
yeah.
Fair.
I only just realized that the
yeah.
I only just realized that the glass that Joey moves with his telekinetic powers is an ET glass.
Yes.
Shit.
honestly, there's some really fucked up and cool moments in that movie I really loved, but there's also like missed opportunities, because I loved it when he had the fucking doll hanging in his goddamn closet and then decides, eh, I could bury it, but fuck it, I'm just gonna leave him in there covered by all these toys. And then it's suddenly, oh, magic shit's happening. Where is he? Oh, God, he's been cut free. He's got a knife. But no, they don't even think about the knife. It's just he's gone.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm just going to bury the doll. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's not as if he displayed he had telekinetic powers and shot knives at my mother before.
Yeah, not like or, that. And nobody talked about the beating or possible potential rape that his little robot friend faced when all the other toys cornered him.
They like, do.
Yeah.
Poor little Charlie.
Oh. He was like, beep, beep, beep. No. Beep.
No, no, no. All of these mean no.
Yeah.
And little beep, 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 like, beep, no.
Doll's like, have you ever had your shit pushed in?
Johnny Five wishes he was never born.
Bad touch.
Why am I programmed to feel pain?
Hey, 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 he gets even under the Return of the Jedi blanket to call
feel
it that.
Pain. Why? Yeah,
just like that trash can robot in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, that's
true. It's ooh, like we learned when we pain. Saw the Nicolas Cage version of Astro Boy. We only made robots so that we'd have something else to make suffer.
That's true.
Like, that's what
people these days, they think they're highfalutin intellectuals by having these debates about what we're going to do with androids and shit. It's like, motherfucker, if you're so worried about them, don't make them. They'll be fine if you just don't fucking build them, dumbass.
There was an article I read about how the real threat coming to kill us is artificial intelligence and sex bots.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be the Terminators that defeat us all.
Totally.
Why would you want intelligence with your sex bot? The sex bot is just there to say, oh, baby, you're so big. I don't want a conversation with that shit.
Did nobody watch Leprechaun 3 in Las Vegas when the man was killed by an electronic sex bot?
I'm going to rip your dick off.
Ryan Trenchard Smith was clearly a great filmmaker.
And before we get, into our last segment of the night, I wanted to open it with a question, because he seems to be the man of the hour. Would this have been a fun movie if Nicolas Cage had been the teacher or the ventriloquist master?
If it had been made 20 years later, you know he would have been the teacher.
Yes, yes.
No, I think he would have been the ventriloquist himself. Are we the doll himself puppet?
Yeah, we'll have to get more into that once we start our...
Well, you remember, though, there's in the 21st century, there's two types of cage roles, though. There's whacked out cage role, and there's sad dad cage role.
And what cage role was the Ghostland, Linda?
It was the former, and it was... Oh. At one point, he says... I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But he does a lot of the cage deliveries. Okay, it's all right. If you want to avoid a light spoiler, just skip the next 7 seconds. He says, "Testicle!"
Wow.
And at one point, he does say, "Hi, fucking yaw," again.
Well, that's a callback.
I don't think he wanted to be there, but you do see you see Cage cheeks because he's in a Manos Hands of Fate sort of diaper, and like with the thong in the back.
Oh, he's a warrior poet in the sci-fi sense.
And he
There's
also
a side of his individuality.
Speaking of the side of his individuality, you see the side of his individuality a little bit in said diaper as well.
I'm sure people are going to be flocking to see it now, Linda. Thank you.
And a lot of hairy cage chest.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's see. He doesn't wax anymore.
It's callbacks?
A beautiful movie, but.
I kind of wonder if he may have been slightly influenced by having to go through all of his old material for the self-biopic movie, and maybe that affected the film, but I push. push
the button do?
I don't know. I'm just Frank for and I'm pushing the button.
I pushed a button. Rebecca! Doctors of script.
Yeah. So who wants to
you do
this one
Linda,
over
Linda does. Linda does. Linda do it. Linda.
Okay, so in my version, obviously the kid dies at the end. Because that was the most fucking disappointing thing. Okay, so the kid dies. The kids who bullied him and the little girl come. Can we see him? And for some reason, they pull the sheets over so the kids can see the corpse of the child. And they're like, he would have been a good squad leader or whatever. He didn't have to save us because we were mean to him. But then, okay, so like then finally in the last scene, in the last scene, you see all these toys come to life and they're like pouring out of the room, and the little girl's like, it's him.
Joey.
And I was thinking, like, oh, sweet, he's a fucking poltergeist now. Like, yes. But then, no, they start panning in on his face. And I'm like, no, 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 no. And they're zooming in. I'm like, don't fucking do it. Don't fucking do it, movie. And then his eyes flutter open.
Just be grateful they killed him in the first place. The resurrection had to happen. It's an 80s movie. No,
in my version, he does not come back. He comes back at like he has the poltergeist activity. He's now a fucking like full blown poltergeist. And the little girl goes, it's him. And then she gets a compass to the eyeball. Bam! And then the murders start happening.
Oh, that is so mean.
Starting Linda, with the children.
My mom says I can't hang out with you anymore. You play too well.
I don't know what she's talking about.
I was hoping you were going to go in more like the Who version of this with Tommy. Oh.
Joey, can you hear me? Joey, can you see me?
Listen to you. I get the music.
So it turns out that the dad did not actually die in his World War II squadron. He comes back to find the mother with the teacher. And then they kill him.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
You didn't hear it.
Yeah, and so he's the deaf, dumb, blind kid who's like really good at Donkey Kong.
Who beat Elton John and he gets carried away.
He beat off Elton John. Yes,
he beat Elton John off the pinball machine. This is another dream sequence with a pinball machine.
He's scoring more.
And at first, Elton John's like, no, you're just a kid. This is wrong. This is illegal. This is.
That's before we even get into his crazy uncle.
He's like, oh, but those small fingers.
I'm your crazy uncle.
Yeah, yeah. Then the uncle blows up his drum set. Yeah.
I would like to apologize for myself.
We're going insane.
I just think it's a terrible place. God damn it.
Everything must go. Our prices are so low. We're crazy.
It's because of the presence of Al.
Yes, he's affecting Linda. We have to pull an exorcism. I would like to go next because I have to share proof that me and my sister came from the same womb. Mine begins simply, Joey is dead and unhappy in the afterlife, forced to haunt his family as he watches the evil demon Fletcher walking around in his body. Unable to reclaim his body, he wanders the afterlife seeking help from anyone he can. Meanwhile, Fletcher is killing off his friends, introducing other kids to Satanism, and creating a flesh blanket to hang from his wall. Joey needs his body fast, or he'll end up friendless, a junkie, and in prison for his 18th birthday. So he he turns to heaven, but God can't help him as a German child. So he goes to the one choice he has left. Satan. All he needs now is his girlfriend Sally to summon his spirit through the use of black magic and sacrifice.
She kills now, his dog?
Yes. She kills dog, and now he possesses her body. Joey is now ready for the ultimate psychic showdown with Fletcher in Making Contact to Satanic Hubbubaloo.
Instead of Fletcher, word. Can it be Fletch?
What with the devil and everything? Honestly, you kids, I don't know what I'm going to do with the two of you.
Starring Chevy Chase.
Oh, my Lanta.
Hey, check me out. I'm now in a little girl's body. Oh.
Well, I think we should have a nice, sweet story for the sequel, okay?
Fine.
You're stealing my shtick.
I think that maybe Joey and Mom, you know, things got a little dicey in Virginia Beach and there was some bad memories. And it turns out that nice blonde girl with the pigtails, her parents, you know, were tragically killed at some point. And so she needs a family. So Mom's only too happy to adopt. And so they all hop in the station wagon and they all head out to greener pastures in California. They, of course, have brought along Charlie the robot. And on the way, they pick up a mysterious other robot who is just as cute in his own special way. And this one they named Jack.
Does Jack pull a gun on them when they decide to go on a vacation fishing trip?
No. When they move out to that nice housing development,
it turns out
that government agents are looking for Jack. It turns out that Jack has some telekinetic powers himself, which helped Charlie because after being resurrected, he can't walk anymore. So he's in a wheelchair, see? He helps him discover the meaning of family and coping with loss. And how you can get a really good family, completely balanced meal at Jack in the Box. Oh. This, of course, is Jack and Me.
God damn it.
With sponsorship by McDonald's.
Well, this one would only get distributed in the western half of the United States to where there's a Jack in the Box. Because East Coast people somehow have a beef with that.
Jack's family is dying naked in a cave.
Yeah, they're all various sized cute robots. Yeah.
Now, something you all helped me inspire because of all the rape talk and pinball machines.
God damn it.
What if you did remake this today, but you went a little crazy, and for Fletch the evil demonic toy, we have Gary Busey voicing him.
Yes. And
then you do the adult head on a child thing with Nick Cage playing Joey. So then you can have a psychic battle between these two wonderful forces of nature.
Trust in God.
Trust in God, Joey. Come on.
Can they have a friend who's another Joey. Adult head on a child? They could have Patton Oswalt show up.
He's the teacher. Like, there's something
now
wrong
everybody
with Joey.
Stop judging Joey just because he's a freak. That's me.
And the teacher was fucking the mom.
Good night.
I mean, is there anything we feel we could learn from this experience? Anything we want to dive into?
Yes, this says so much about Cold War Reaganist America, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. And that there's
what?
Cheeseburgers and Star Wars.
This is Germany, not the fucking Russia.
What are you speaking
of? Hamburgers that could have been cheeseburgers.
It is set in Virginia Beach, United States. I love my adopted country. Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, say, can you see?
Mickey Mouse.
What the fuck is Goofy?
I love
the Holocaust, everyone.
Oh.
Um, Why didn't the hamburger have sesame seeds? Where did the hamburger come
because
from?
Because it's a good hamburger. Fuck sesame seeds. No, no. The only good sesame seed presence is on a bun is when they pulverize the sesame seeds, and you just kind of get that textured top bun. That's the only good version of that.
Oh.
And it goes up the dick a little easier.
It goes up the dick a little easier. Not a cement.
Romeo and Juliet, that one.
That's what you guys do, right? That's how that works.
Yeah, they do the special gay handshake at the urinal to decide whose dick goes inside of which.
Wait.
You don't need me to tell you about that. We got resident gay guy Roland Emmerich. He can tell us all about that. All about his urinal sex.
I was gonna tell my beloved sister this off air, but I will share it with all of you lovely people now, because I'm sure maybe Broom Flicks, because they're awesome because they got licks, will tell you about this. But there is an actual Reddit for men with huge hogs to go and complain about the travesties of having such endowment.
Really?
And as a couple of people I follow had put out there, because why not think about your thoughts before you say them? What is the problem? What do they feed it? I had to think for a while about that. And apparently it is sesame seeds from hamburger buns. The secret is now out. Thank you for ruining that, Linda.
Welcome.
Look like this touched you in a special way?
Sesame seeds aren't food.
Just like the doll. Show us on the teacher where the doll touched you.
This is why you don't buy a Big Mac. I buy a double cheeseburger. You take your sesame seeds in your lettuce and you shove them. That's all.
On that Reddit page, do they have, like, as a regular contributor, John Hamm?
They call the hogs, too. Sue-wee!
You can find us at your local prison where we'll be held for trial. And also possibly on Stitcher and Apple Podcasts.
Send us cigarettes.
Yes, cigarettes is currency.
Why I'm alone.
On Patreon, you can send us just cigarettes. So yes. We don't have to be someone's bitch.
Send us bars of soap. Don't ask why. It's lonely. Oh, fuck trying to get deeper into this.
Well, you know,
play us off, keyboard sister.
So please listen, follow, rate, and review the Videorama. I was going to say Cage's Kiss on Apple Podcasts, and it will earn you an on-air shout out. And check out our stuff on YouTube, where you can see our lovely faces. And you could see Al hook up with Thelonious Monkey.
Watch our videos. It'll blow your dick off.
It'll blow the sesame seeds out your dick hole.
Next time I give someone a review, I want to say that it blew all the sesame seeds straight out of my dick hole. So... also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/videoramapod, and there you can help support us. You can help us do what we're doing, keep doing it, and there are plenty of perks on there, and pretty simple to get, actually. If at a certain level you can even suggest a movie or even a theme. And at another level, you can even join us as a guest. And, you know, we'd probably love to have you on. So with that being said, I would love to thank our lovely supporters. First, we have the one who's been there since the very beginning. My friend JC. The one above, you know. Oh. Wouldn't that be weird? No. Next to Jesus, it's Buddy Broham. And Buddy really has been there since the beginning. Our first supporter. We love you, Buddy. You're awesome. And you've just been awesome like the whole time. Thank you so much. Jenny. was our second supporter. And yes, we love you very much, Jenny. You are amazing. Thank you so much for your continued support. She even increased her support. So thank you so much.
Ooh, increased a piece.
She took it to 11.
Yeah, she was about here. Now she's about here. And then there's Steve and Izzy from Everything I Learned from Movies. Thank you so much.
Look at their faces on our Cobra episode.
Yeah, exactly. They joined us for Cobra. That was their idea, Cobra. So it was a really fun episode. So check it out. Thank you so much, Steve and Izzy. And they're just awesome people in general as well. Then there's also my sex bot, my husband, Carlo.
You'd make a good commander.
Just gotta get your Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah, and I keep trying to tell him he actually now has to join us as a guest because he's paying at that level, so he has to be a guest at some point. And finally, last but not least, the Vern, you know, we love you and we have to have you on at some point. And
we have to have you.
I was gonna say that was a bad time to have a hiccup because I was like, we have to have you.
Naughty. You're so naughty.
Like, wait, Vern, why did you block me on Twitter? What the hell, man?
Come on, we got sesame seeds. Are you hungry?
I know how this works now.
You're going to be on a fucking park bench throwing out sesame seeds. Like, here, dicky, 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 dicky.
I'm going to be feeding the gays. Like, feeding Adrian. Oh, like, here you go, here you go. No, it's okay. My friend told me this is how it works. You should be proud. Really, thank you so much, Fern. We really, really appreciate your support. All of you guys, you're amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Special shout out from the Dark Lord.
Oh, wait a minute. We couldn't do it without you.
Hi, Grandma. Sounds like I'm on old time radio.
It's like George Carlin said, you never hear somebody saying, I know he's looking at up from us from heaven or from hell. Always looking down at us.
Everyone looks down on us.
So, anywho, remember you can find Videorama on Twitter at Videorama P. That's Videorama with the letter P at the end for pod. You can visit our website at VideoramaPod.com, and you can write to us at VideoramaPod@gmail.com. If you can visit our Twitter account on Videorama P, sometimes we have polls there. Yeah, and fun, delightful things. We don't post porn anymore. Also, with that being said, check out my other podcast about witches in history and stories of all media. It's called Bedknobs and Broom Flicks.
Oh, wow.
You know, we're fun because we got licks at the end. It's BROOMFLICKS. Also, you can now check me out in the second season of Four's a Crowd, where I will now be playing Mrs. Halverson.
Mrs. Halverson, that one's new.
Oh, my Lanta. I can't do it. Like, I got to prepare. Anyway.
Anyway.
Lieutenant Viola Murphy. I'm Adrian, and I live on the deviantart.com. It's under Leo the Fox, all lowercase, all run together, all one word, L-E-O-T-H-E-F-O-X. You know it's good because it's got X at the end.
It's got Fox at the end.
That's my art account since 2006. I've got over 3,000 artworks and stories and chapters and shits on there. You need to check that the fuck out. There's all kinds of randomness, movie posters, collages, some comic shit. Links to my cartoons on YouTube. You should go to my YouTube under A.A. Smith. I put some shit there sometimes. And you should go to my Patreon, also under Leo the Fox, and give to me the dollars for making the shit that I make, please.
Yeah.
Not done?
I can be... Just
throw a dildo over your shoulder?
No,
that's how you keep the spirits away.
It was empty.
Uh-huh.
I was giving it to my dog, who is behind.
You think the flask is empty, but it ain't.
Don't pay attention to the bottles I throw, knowing my dog sleeps behind my chair in his bed. I'm the not Leo the Fox, but I'm the Unreal Goals on the Twitter, and I only had a Twitter because the comic convention was on fire once, and I wanted to bitch about it, and my tickets costing too much. I'm also Stilgar the Twi'lek on something, Instagram. I'm also Unreal Goals on the YouTube, where I sometimes make videos and then decide if I'm going to post them or not. Awesome. And I got something coming up for Spooptober, so we will see what's going to happen there. Ooh. Otherwise, you'll find me at the bar by the pinball machine.
Doing cheesecake poses.
Eating cheesecake and doing cheesecake poses.
Y'all got some sesame seeds.
I like when you go to the pizza parlor and they got the movie tie-on pinball machine. So it's like Bob Wire or something.
So, next week I'll be sharing my recommendation. And until then, Donnie shot again.
I did not rape over a pinball machine any celebrities.
Until next time, whenever you need us, we'll be right here.
Did you say in your rear?
Donnie dressed up as the teacher and fucked that kid's mom.
I did. And now I'm going to dress up as a sesame seed because I'm getting out of here.